Heavenly Father, help each of us to turn away and look to you, Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. May we glorify your name this day by the way we receive your word into our hearts. For Lord, you graciously give us this manna from above that we know flesh and blood cannot give us. And we are truly grateful for that. And we ask this now in your mighty name, the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I have, as usual, a title for us to consider, and we're calling this today, Worry Are Cares of the World. Worry Are Cares of the World. I don't think we need much revelation in which to understand this title, because the world is driven and held by worry, anxiety, cares of this world. And the Lord has saved us in order that we would be delivered from this force that drives most of the world, families, businesses, politics, you name it. How can God deliver us from something that the world is gripped and held by? Why, this probably is one of the largest mountains and obstacles in front of us. And yet Jesus revealed that we can remove these mountains. Our Lord has overcome all these mountains, these obstacles. So how is this achieved? How can it be done? Is it indeed possible? Well, I bring us back to the very basics that we walk by faith and not by sight. And what is impossible with man is possible with God, else he would not be God. And on that basis, we're able to share and teach this word. Otherwise, what is the point? And I want us to turn to something very familiar. We're going to look at scripture today, you know very well. But we'll start with Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25 through to 34. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. And even the heading in this section says in my Bible, do not worry. And it says here, therefore, and this is our Lord speaking, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? So he goes right to the root, the heart, us, ourselves. Because that is what he has to deal with, self. And self doesn't die that easy. There is only one thing that will deal with self, the self-life, and that is the cross that Jesus says you're to take up daily and follow the Lord. So he goes right to the heart of the issue, the self, us. And he says, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? So he goes to nature and he shows that nature, animals, birds, they're not all worried about where they're going to find their food, storing it all up and so forth. He says, no, they know it's out there and they know where to look and forage for it. And he goes on, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So in other words, he says, can you alter yourself? Can you alter your height? Maybe some of us would like to be taller or there are some who would like to be slightly shorter. He says, you can't change that. That is God-given. So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. So he says a lily, and he uses the lily because it's the most beautiful flower. It's white, it's like wax looking, and has the most beautiful perfume. It's very soporific. You'll know if you've got lilies in the room, you can smell them. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these, and he was. Many came to see the wonder and glory of Solomon. Even the Queen of Sheba came because she heard about his wealth, his wisdom, and so forth. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So he's going right to the root of the problem. It's our faith, believing. Therefore, do not worry about what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Four times the Lord in those few verses brings up the word worry or anxiety. Now he's stressing a point. Why, even medical science knows what worry, anxiety does, how it can open the door to other physical ailments. Did you know that a lot of cancer, which is spiritual, enters a body because of worry and anxiety? The devil is no fool. He knows how to afflict through spirits of infirmity. So how important it is then, we need to close the door to worry and anxiety. And four times the Lord brings this up in very practical, everyday living and situations. And he ends in the verse 34, sufficient for the day is its own what? Trouble. And it is. We're going to face trials and tribulations and afflictions because each day brings its own trouble. We live in a fallen world. And the God of this world at present is still Satan. And it's full of troubles, worries. But the Lord has come, overcoming the whole world, going before and showing how the troubles of this world do not have to bring us down into worry and anxiety, that we can live and walk above them. For we are told that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus in the heavenlies. So why do we allow the worries and anxieties of this world to bring us down to its level? This is what the Lord is saying here in Matthew 6:25 onwards. And this is why we're calling this teaching today, Worry and Cares of the World. You see, the world looks at common sense. It's the world's wisdom. But for the disciple, it's unbelief. Because our wisdom is from above. It's not the wisdom of this world and its thinking. And so many Christians are still bound by the world's wisdom. Why? Because you're listening to the world. You are listening to the map, to man. You are listening to the news. You're still reading these newspapers and reports full of unbelief. You trying to use common sense. Governments try to use common sense. And even that's going out of the window. But we're above that as disciples. If you're filled with the Spirit, he's going to allow all those things that you're trying to plan, that you rely upon still with the arm of the flesh, those mundane things of life, he's going to let them be disrupted. He's going to let the enemy in and buff it if you're not learning this principle. And some Christians are saying to themselves, why is it everything seems to go wrong? Things don't seem to work out for me. My faith doesn't seem to be working. I'm battling with the promises of God's word. Here is the problem. God is permitting it to happen because this is how he gets your attention. Until you come to the end of yourself and you're saying, I can no longer cope with this worry, this anxiety, these cares of the world. They are weighing me down. I'm not enjoying this walk as a Christian. I'm not blessed in this. And God sometimes allows this to happen. I've gone through this. This is why I can speak to you from experience. This has been one of the biggest areas of my life. Worry, anxiety, paralyzing one. Until you come to the end of yourself and you realize you cannot go on like this. And God shows the way of escape. And this is why he refers four times to this. Because we're all subject to it. We've all fallen victim to it. We're still in deliverance, some of us. So he addresses worry, anxiety. Because if you want to walk by faith, which we want to, he's going to deliver you. Because worry displays to the family and the world, he doesn't look after me. That's what it does. It is such a bad witness and testimony. And this is why our Lord addresses this four times, because it doesn't glorify his name. It reveals to the world, God isn't looking after me. He's not answering my prayers. And that's exactly what the devil wants. That's his witness he wants to show your family. And maybe that's why our families have not come through yet in salvation. Because I am not that witness I should be. Now you can get offended by this. Or you can say, praise God, my Father loves me. He's going right to the root of this situation. And you bow the knee and you start to get delivered. Look how subtle the enemy tries to hold us. Do you know what chokes the word of God? It is the cares of this world. Anxiety, fear. Let's turn to it, Matthew 13 and verse 32. Matthew 13, and let's take it up from verse 32. Well, we'll take from verse 31. Another parable he put forth, saying to them, the kingdom of heaven is like mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in a field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in the branches. Another parable he spoke, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was leavened. And these things Jesus spoke to the multitude in parables. And the parables he did not speak to them, that but they might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world. And then he goes on to explain the parable. And here it is, verse 37, and he answered and said to them, he who sows good seed is a son of man. The field is the world, and the good seed are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. And the Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So he who has an ear, let him hear. All this, he's speaking about sowing, reaping, good seed sown into the soil. He's dealing with the heart. The heart is the issue of life. Out of the heart flows all things. The heart tells you where your heart and affection and confession lies. And you need to ask God to make you very sensitive to what you are confessing and what comes out of your mouth. Because that tells you what the seed of the word is doing, whether it's being planted in my heart or not. Because we know worry, anxiety, or cares of the world chokes the seed. That is the big one. And that's why you find such little growth taking place in the church. Because the word is being choked by worry, anxiety, cares. We're still too involved with the world, its ways, its unbelief, its cares, its worries. We still listen to it and take it on board. We're still confessing it. Instead of believing, I'm above this, Christ took all of this on himself. He's taken the burden, the government of the world on his shoulders. It's not my problem. And yet we believe it, you see. We know in Romans 10 that our confession is to line up with God's word. The Holy Spirit has come revealing the personality, God himself in Jesus Christ, revealing himself in his word to you. This is what he's saying to you. It's not just a word, it's the person behind the word who now is speaking to you through the Holy Spirit, through the unction of the Spirit, the anointing. That is what he's saying. And this is how faith comes, Romans 10, 17. As I hear this word, we keep coming back for the purpose, because it has to drop that 18 inches from the head to the heart. And it's a process. I wish we got it straight away in the heart, but we don't always. And this is the problem that hinders the word. It's those fears, anxieties, cares of the world that I'm still listening to, I'm still reacting to. Instead, I should be reacting to the word of God that makes me act my faith. You see? There's the difference. Am I acting or reacting? And anxiety, cares, worries will always make me react. And that's the danger. Because you're doing it in yourself, independently of God. Satan knows exactly where to attack to make us independent and not rely on him through worry, anxiety, cares. And that is the nature of them, is to make you look away from God. I'll handle this, I'll deal with this myself. And there is where we go wrong. And the more you try and do it in self, the more you open the door to anxiety, fears, cares of the world that the world is gripped and held by. You're not delivered in the mind. And that is why he's delivering the mind through the word of God, so that we get set free in our minds, so that our faith, the word then, can plant into the heart. As I've said many times, the parable of the sower is working every time you open the word, every time you hear the word, every time we come to these meetings, the parable of the sower is in operation. That's why I've said it's one of the greatest parables our Lord gave. It is the key to your growth and how you're hearing. It's not rocket science. And if it's not working out, then there is a reason why. And we can pretty well come back to the fact I'm allowing the birds, the predators, to rob me of the seed of this word. Or I'm allowing the worries and anxieties. It's still the same thing. I'm told in farming that when they sow seed, they have to be prepared that a fourth of the seed will not germinate. It'll be eaten by birds or animals or whatever. It's that high. And there's the same principle with us. This is why we're walking as overcomers each day. This is why we're being changed from glory into glory as the word takes hold of our life. That we become a part of the word and the word becomes a part of us. That is what faith is. And it simply comes by hearing. And that hearing will cause us to act in the way that we should. And certainly the word of God should always get us to act in going before our Father in prayer, intercession, taking the message before him, talking it out with the Lord. That is what I love about the word of God. When it's challenged, when it has my name of address on it, that I can go before my Father and I can bring it before him. Or he's highlighted and shown me why I'm not growing as I should be. You have not because you ask not, James says. We're always asking amiss the wrong things. But he's getting us to talk to him, to call upon him for the right things, for growth. And this is top of the chart, what I'm dealing with here. This is why we bring this up quite often, because this is your problem. This is what you encounter each day in our trials, in our walk, or whatever the day brings. You see, we have to ask ourselves, am I allowing Satan access into my life to rob me of the word? Am I doing this? And this is why God has to deal with pride in us. Pride will stop the word from being sown in the heart. And so when our pride is challenged by the word of God, which it is, we have two things we can do. We can either give in to that, or we can bow the knee and say, I'm going to defy this pride, this independent spirit in me. I'm not playing the devil's game. He's oppressing me in this area. I'm going to bow the knee before my Heavenly Father to receive my healing and my deliverance, because I have need of this spiritual manna, the Word of God, to be sown in my heart. This is why we make so much of the Word of God in this assembly. We're Bereans of the Word, because this has to be sown in the heart. This is one of the greatest parables our Lord gave to the people. And his sheep will hear this, and they will act in accordance. You may say to me, oh, but Pastor, you don't know the unbelief that's in my life. You don't know the mountains that are in front of me. I just do not know how I walk each day with the trials and tests in this life. Well, you've come to the right place. God's made no mistake. These are clear signs. If that's your experience, God has got you here, and he's working deliverance and healing in you. He's removing these mountains by your faith first. And once it's dropped from the head to the heart, that 18 inches, then those mountains are removed. How does he do it? I haven't a clue, but he's a miraculous working God. It's not my job or my responsibility as to how these mountains are going to be removed. That's his job. What is your job is to do what he asks, and that is yielding to the Spirit. By the cross, you take up each day and follow the Lord. The Holy Spirit will highlight. He will show. He will show what he wants you to yield over, and don't fight him or resist him, because it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Do you not see, brothers and sisters, how the Holy Spirit is working that Christ may be manifest in our flesh? Few go to that distance, that maturity. Most of your preaching today behind pulpits is in nature, just make it in by the skin of your teeth. That's all they preach. Very little faith is ever taught. This is why I say so often, God is restoring in these last days apostolic faith, bringing us back to under the fivefold ministry, to be mature, to be perfected, to be equipped for the ministry, Ephesians 4. And it's all about Christ's working this in me, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. And when you grasp that, what Nehemiah says, you realize all he asks of you is to believe, to yield over, Don't fight him, don't resist, and the Spirit will do the rest. The same as the Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, he will do the same to you and me. You could say, and it's not theologically wrong, that the word of God, the word of faith in nature, is resurrection. That is what it is. And resurrection is what? New life, a new hope, everything new in Jesus Christ. This is why we love the word of God, because of what it produces when that seed is sown into the heart and brings forth fruit, just like a mustard seed that is sown. We read it to you, but look how big it grows. That is why we say so often, out of your innermost being shall flow those rivers of living water. You've been saved and redeemed for living water to come forth from you. And water goes into places and areas that nothing else can get to. That is the nature of all of this. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that is sown. The kingdom of God is like just one match with a flame just striking, and then the fire spreads. That's its message. That's its revelation. That is what God has placed in you and I. But the seed must plant into the heart. And here is where he's going to remove what hinders this worry, this anxiety, these cares of the world that choke the word, the seed. This is why he separates us, sanctifies us, and sets us apart unto himself. We cannot keep company with wrong people for too long. They don't speak our language. They don't believe like we do. I'm sorry, but even your family, as much as you love them, they are not speaking the same language that you speak. They don't think the same that you think. And that's why we pray for them. And that's why God is doing the work like he is with us, so that they will see that change. They will hear our speech. They will know that we have been with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God wants to place that countenance, that anointing upon you. Just like Moses that came down from Sinai, he didn't know his face was shining until the people told him. They couldn't be near him. You're exactly the same. This is why we are a priesthood. We are royal priesthood. We are priests who stand, mediate between God and man. That is your role, brothers and sisters, to your family, to everyone you meet. Every day when you go out into this world, I go as a mediator between man and God. Always remember that. And then your vision opens up. It's no longer just about yourself, your little world. God has a way of opening up and moving you in directions and ways you never thought was possible. But God has got to remove this worry, this anxiety, because it's affecting your confession, your faith. It's hindering this word from going in. Don't play the devil's game. We have to overcome enough in this walk without any more. The world doesn't need to see worry, anxiety coming out of you and me. The world doesn't want to hear us talking like them. You have been saved for much greater and bigger things. And it is by the Spirit he will do it. Of course, it's impossible. Of course, this has all got our name and address on it. Of course, this cannot be done in the flesh. But God hasn't called us for that. He's called us to yield to him, and the one who has overcome this world, the spirit of this age, is the one who will reach out through us in our weakness. I've had to learn this principle, brothers and sisters, as a preacher and teacher and pastor. I know I cannot do this. This isn't in me at all. But I know as I yield over to him, the power in the Spirit, the baptism in the Spirit, is the one who does it through you. And I have proved this over and over and over again. I am a witness to this. And it's not just with me, it is with you also. That's why Romans 8 is all about those who walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Those who walk in the Spirit, they are revealing by the Spirit the risen Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Stop trying. You don't have to try. If you are born from above and have the Spirit of God, you don't have to try at this. You are. You are destined for the throne. Your Father is Almighty God. King Charles doesn't try to be king. He is by birth. And so are you, by birth, the new birth. So stop trying all of this, trying to do it. You don't have to. You do it from a position of victory. You do it from a place where God has declared you right in his presence. He has given you the stand before him. And that is why, as it says in Hebrews, you can come boldly into his presence. You don't come any more timid, shy, or not sure. That is not your standing if you truly have received. But he's going to deal with this worry, this anxiety, and the cares of this world, because they so hinder. They really, really do. And that's why we'll close with verses 10 to 17. 10 to 17, chapter 13 of Matthew, the purpose of the parables. And he answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of the people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Listen to what the Lord is saying there. These are some of the mysteries to the kingdom of God. That is why, as I close, you have been called in such an hour. For you hear, because flesh and blood does not reveal this to you. This comes from above by your Father, by the Spirit. And he gives you the understanding of what he's saying. Has he given you the understanding today, what he's saying? And that is, deal with this worry, anxiety, cares of the world. If you have received and heard by the Spirit, then faith will know how to act in accordance. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word. It's very important. Our future can well depend on this. Help us, Father, in your mercy and grace. If we have need of going over this word, even if it's 10 times, then faith will know how to act. May none who have heard this be left out, but that all will come in and partake of the blessings that you have for us. As we have read, Lord, give us hearing and a heart to understand. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.